Good evening, each one. Good to be here with you this evening. You're shaped by your environment in a lot of ways. When I was growing up as a child, I heard the gospel at a very early age. And I wasn't saved till I was 21. But one thing that I knew for sure was that I was on my way to hell. I think most of my siblings would probably agree with me that we all knew that there was great judgment that we were going to receive if we didn't get saved. And so I think sometimes, because of that, it probably comes out in my preaching a little more on the great need to be saved because of judgment. And that's a true statement. The Bible is full of stories of judgment. If you go through the Old Testament, how God destroyed, completely obliterated towns and humans that were against him, that sinned against him. There was great judgment. So I want to talk this evening about the word protection. Protection. And I want to talk about the word blood. We do lots of things to protect ourselves. We have homes. We put insurance on our houses to protect them from loss if there was a fire. We, as parents, protect our children. We like to think, as husbands, we want to protect our wives. Banks protect their loans with all the small fine print so that if you forfeit on your payment, they protect the money that they've loaned to you. Protection. Now, the opposite of protection is to be vulnerable or to be subject to harm. So we know from scriptures, most of us here have heard the gospel oftentimes, we know that the unsaved are really unprotected, aren't they? They have no protection against the payment of sin. And we know the Lord Jesus made the ultimate payment when he paid for the sins of the world. But the unsaved are under judgment. They're unprotected. So we want to go to a little story in the Old Testament. Well, probably one of the most vivid stories in the Old Testament. Exodus chapter 12. But before you do that, I want to just read a few New Testament verses concerning this idea of blood. Exodus chapter 12 is the story of the Passover lamb. But before we do that, let's turn to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7. Ephesians 1, 7 says this, "In whom we have redemption or payment through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace." I think just for the sake of time, I'm going to turn to one verse in Revelation before we go to Exodus chapter 12. Revelation chapter 19, we're going to read just one verse there. 19 verse 13. This is speaking of a coming time in God's timetable, the marriage supper of the Lamb. And it says in verse 13, speaking of the Lord Jesus, he is clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. I want to talk about blood. Well, we know that blood is an organ. It's in all our bodies. It keeps us alive. If you had an ailment of some sort, the first thing that the doctor would do was he would take a blood test, wouldn't he? And that blood is an indicator of something probably that's going on in your body. They say that one drop of blood carries 5 million cells. Information. So the blood is important. It's an organ. There was a doctor in a true story, a doctor who, I think he was a Christian doctor, who performed the first heart transplant. And it was a successful transplant, and the gentleman survived. And the gentleman asked the doctor, he says, a rare request, he says, "I'd like to see my old heart." They had taken out his old heart and replaced it with a new one, and he wanted to see the old heart. And when once he saw that heart, he simply said this, "I'm sure glad I don't have that heart anymore." Because the new heart obviously saved his life. 1 Corinthians 5:17 says this, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new." We know the idea of that is a new heart. A new heart. God, very early in the history of mankind, impressed upon people by his word the importance of blood in the heart. What it was what sustains life. Now we're not elevating blood in reference to your blood or my blood or even the blood of the Lord Jesus, but the idea of the Lord Jesus' blood was because the blood that was in him was perfect. It was in the perfect man. And so when we talk about blood, it's not necessarily, we speak about the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you were to go out in the street tonight and to a stranger and talk about blood sacrifice, they would probably, "What are you talking about?" But it's, the Bible says the life, what's that verse, sorry? Yeah, the life is in the blood. And so it's the perfect life and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that I want to bring out this evening in reference to Exodus chapter 12, the story of the Passover lamb. Let's just read it, and then hopefully I'll make things a little more clearer as we go. Exodus chapter 12, we're going to read the first 13 verses. Now the Lord said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, "This month shall be the beginning of months for you. It is to be the first month of the year to you. Speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, on the 10th of this month, they are each one to take a lamb for themselves according to their father's household, a lamb for each household. Now if the household is too small for a lamb, then he and his neighbor nearest to his house are to take one according to the number of persons in them, according to what each man should eat. You are to divide the lamb. Your lamb shall be an unblemished male, a year old. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. You shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel is to kill it at twilight. Moreover, they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and on the lintel of the houses in which they eat it. They shall eat the flesh that same night, roasted with fire, and they shall eat it with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. Do not eat any of it raw or boiled at all with water, but rather roasted with fire, both its head and its legs, along with its insides. And you shall not leave any of it over until morning, but whatsoever is left of it until morning, ye shall burn with fire. Now ye shall eat this in this manner, with your loins girded, your sandals on, your feet, and your staff in your hand," or basically the idea of ready departure. "It is the Lord's Passover. For I will go through the land of Egypt on that night and will strike down all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. The blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you live, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and no plague will befall you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt." Go over to verse 28 of the same chapter. "Then the sons of Israel went and did so, just as the Lord had commanded Moses and Aaron, so they did. Now it came about at midnight that the Lord struck all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh who sat on his throne, to the firstborn of the captive who was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of cattle. Pharaoh arose in the night, he and all his servants and all the Egyptians. And there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was no home where there was not someone dead." What a story about judgment. Now, the history of the children of Israel is they wanted to go to the promised land. And Pharaoh, they were slaves to the taskmasters, to Pharaoh and their taskmasters. But they wanted freedom. They wanted to get out of that slavery, and they wanted to be free. So I want to just observe, there was three problems that are in this story. Three, I want to go through a number of things, not necessarily in order, but I want to make three simple observations about this story. Number one, they were slaves. We're going to apply that at the end in the gospel. They were slaves to their taskmasters. Secondly, they were given specific instructions on how to get delivered. And the history of Pharaoh was that he continually said they would let him go, and then he refused and didn't. But the last altercation or the last conversation was with the children of Israel. It was not with Pharaoh. It was with Moses and Aaron, and he was to approach the children of Israel in order for them to do certain things in order to be delivered. And lastly, because they were under the bondage of these Egyptians and Pharaoh, they could never go to Canaan while they were in bondage. They would never see the promised land. If their life continued under their taskmasters, if there was no change, if they had not obeyed the specific instructions that God had given to Moses and Aaron, they would never be delivered. Three observations about that story. So I want to just touch on seven different things. I want to apply it to present day. We have to get something out of this story that actually we can go home with. It has to be the Bible's practical, right? So if we just read the story and leave it at that, we don't have anything. We want to go back with something tonight that is practical. I want to point all seven things that I'm going to talk about all point to a final sacrifice. In the New Testament, it says, once in the end of the ages hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. All pointing to a final sacrifice. First thing I want to, it's no particular order. I just picked these out in random things that I've studied and noticed. It says in verse 4, in accordance to what each man should eat. You might say, well, what's... So they had to get exactly the portion of lamb to eat in the household. That if the family was small, then two families would get together. But it would had to be enough. The portions had to be enough to feed the entire family, the children and the parents. I just want to go back. Actually, I want to go back. Think about this. Think about this little story. Every oldest son was killed that night. We're going to talk about the ones that weren't killed. But think about this. Jesse's gone. Gregor, you're gone. Matthew, you're gone. Just gone. Dead. Judgment. Imagine if that happened in our world today. Every oldest son dies. It says there was great lamenting. There would be. So this portion of lamb was exactly enough, and the children of Israel would get together. If there wasn't enough, if there was the family was too large, there was exactly enough. And I want to parallel that to the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus. And I want to simply ask this. Was Jesus' sacrifice as the Lamb of God enough? Is it enough to save every individual in the world? I think this story, it's a story that points us towards a sacrifice, a permanent sacrifice that'll never have to be done again. But there was exactly enough for everyone. Sufficient. The second thing I want to notice in verse 13, it says, no plague will befall you. Those that were protected by the application of the blood on the lintel and the doorposts were protected. It says, no judgment will befall you. Do you realize that the moment you were saved, there's no judgment? There's no judgment. You will never be judged for your sin. Growing up, I didn't know how. I remember different times as a kid, scared of dying in my sins because I was going to be judged for them. If you're a believer tonight, there's no judgment. You are clear You're free. If the Son has set you free, you're free indeed. No plague will befall you. It was a promise. It was a promise during this horrific judgment on the gods of Israel and the taskmasters that if you were covered, if you were protected, if you were not vulnerable, there would be no judgment befall you. No death, no judgment, no act of harm. I was talking to Jesse about this, about death, you know, and how death, what does death mean to the saved and to the unsaved? And he shared with me this little thought, and I thought it was, you know, when you die physically as a Christian, death is right there, and it kind of has its hand on you, and what does it do? It releases you. Death has no hold on you. You're going to be alive forever with the Lord Jesus. What does death do to someone that physically dies and enters into the judgment of God and is separated? Death just grabs them. You'll be under the curse of death for all eternity. We're free from death. We're free from death. No plague shall befall you. Third thing I want to notice was in this here whole idea of the Passover was once this all happened, there was only one Passover. The children of Israel were commanded to remember this as a memorial for their exodus out of Egypt. It says, keep this as a memorial. It was just one Passover. It didn't happen again. They didn't leave Egypt again. They were released by Pharaoh, and they left and they headed toward the promised land. Once in the end of the ages hath he appeared to put away sin, but it reminds me of that. A reminder of deliverance. What is your reminder of deliverance? You know what mine is? The day I got saved. I was delivered. I can always go back to my story. I can always go back to the moment when I was delivered. Can you go back to the moment when you were delivered from judgment? It's only one memory, one event. I trust each one of you have that memory of your time that you can remember when you were delivered, as it was commanded of the children of Israel to remember the Passover. It was a reminder for generations to come that they had been saved. You are to celebrate it. We do it in a weekly fashion when we remember the Lord Jesus every week at the breaking of bread. You know, this morning, I didn't do it, but I was going to count the amount of times the word blood was mentioned. It's a number of times. Serge, you said it, I bet you 20 times or more in your message. And in the breaking of bread, it was mentioned a number of times. The blood of Christ. You're safe. It says that they were to put the blood, they were to kill that lamb, they were to put the blood on the doorposts and the lintels. And that was their protection. There wasn't any other options, were there? There wasn't a third option. You were either going to be delivered, or you were going to, if you didn't have the blood on your doorpost, your oldest son was going to die. There wasn't a third option to say, well, if you did this or you did that. No, it just says this. Apply the blood to the doorposts and the lintel, and the death angel will pass over. It was as simple as that. There was no third option. Had they decided another way, the oldest son would still die. There's no other way to be saved, we know it, than to be in Christ. That means to apply the blood, or to understand that the life of the Lord Jesus, when God sent his son, and his son willingly sacrificed and shed his blood, basically he gave his life for us so that we could have life. There wasn't any other option. You're either saved or you're lost. The blood on the doorpost. this whole preparation of the lamb, it says a number of things, but one of the things that struck me was it says that you were not to, it said to put it, so they were going to roast this, but not to do it in water. Do you ever try to start something, a fire with wet wood? It's hard to get a fire going, isn't it? It's almost impossible if the wood is wet. And it speaks of judgment, but it also speaks of judgment in reference, I believe, and pointing towards the Lord Jesus in the judgment that he took. It said it was all consumed. It says, after they ate the lamb, and each one took a part of it, it says, leave nothing. It says, burn the rest. And it talks about the judgment that God the Father put upon his Son. Was there anything, did God the Father hold back any of his judgment on his Son? Did he say, well, you know what, I'm just going to partially do it? No, God poured out all his judgment, all his fire, if you will, on his Son. It consumed the Lord Jesus, so to speak. And it pleased God to do it. We know the sayings from the cross very well. My God, why have you forsaken me? Another observation that I've made was, it says they were dressed to depart. In verse 11, let's just read it. Now you shall eat it in this manner, with your loins girded, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. When you were saved, there was a departure from an old life, wasn't there? And you moved into a new life. It could also mean, I believe, are you ready to go home? Or does the world and the sin of the world still have a hold on you? These children of Israel, as they obeyed the process, as they did exactly in preparation of the lamb, as they applied the blood to the doorposts, they left. It says that told them to make sure that their clothing is tucked in, their sandals are on, they were going to depart. And that's what we do when we are freed from sin. We depart from the old nature, the old sin that we have, and we go to something new. And we go on to heaven that's guaranteed for us. If I'm stretching any of these, you come and tell me, but I think these are real, these are real things that point us to what the Lord Jesus has done for us. So we go back to the Old Testament, we think of the sacrifice, we think of Abel's, we think of the progression of the Word of God. It's, you know, Scrogie wrote that book, The Unfolding Drama of Redemption. And so as we know our Bibles, as we read our Bibles, we understand that the sacrifice of Abel as one man was accepted because there was blood shed, pointing to a life given. And then if we go to our passage here tonight, we talk about Exodus 12, and it talked about the departure of the nation of Israel. A whole nation was going to get delivered from bondage, delivered from their taskmasters. And if we go even a little further, we can talk about the Lord Jesus in John chapter 1, verse 29, it says this, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." And we know that from our Bibles, that first salvation was offered to the Jewish nation, but now it's offered to everyone. "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." Let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, or verse 5, verse 7. "Therefore, if any is in Christ, he is a new creature. Behold, all things have, old things have passed away, your old heart. Behold, all things are new. There's a new covenant, there's a new sacrifice, there's a final sacrifice, and all these stories point towards the Lord Jesus. When we remember the Lord Jesus in the breaking of bread, it should thrill our hearts to know that there was someone that did the ultimate. How is it possible that the fiery judgment of God the Father would be poured out his Son in 3 hours, three super concentrated hours of pure judgment? How is that possible? If I were to take all the sins of the people in this room and we were to put them all together, there would be a lot of sin. I have a fair amount of my own. And in three concentrated hours, God the Father judged his Son for the sins of the whole world. It was all-consuming. He paid for every last sin. The Lamb, the innocent Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Do you ever go through your Christian life? I do. I kind of sometimes just don't come into the good of that. I don't appreciate it like I ought to. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He gave him in judgment. He poured out piles and piles of anger and judgment upon his Son so that you could be free. And another thing, the last thing I want to end with is this. Let's open our mouths to the world around us. Because they're under judgment. Whether we want to speak about it or not. I know that's not very common, it's not very acceptable to speak about hell or to speak about judgment. But the reality is those that are going to be separated in the second when they die and death grabs a hold of them as they enter eternity, they will be judged in a place called hell. And how dare we, and I speak to myself, how dare we keep our mouths closed? How dare we not share the truth of the Lamb of God who could take their sin, who could take care of their sins? I'm encouraging you to share your faith, to share Christ with others. He's not willing that any should perish. There's a way out, as there was a way out for the children of Israel out of Egypt. There is a way clear for anyone that puts their faith and trust in the shed blood of the Lord Jesus. What a great thing it is to be saved, to know your sins taken care of, no judgment. Never harm is going to come on you. It's because of him. Father, we thank thee for your Son. Oh, Father, what a challenge it is for us. The old flesh just wants to be consumed with things that have no value in light of eternity. And Father, may we start this week with a new vision of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. May we understand the great sacrifice that saved us from our sins and has secured our destiny. No harm. We are protected. We are 100% protected in Christ. And Father, if there's someone in this meeting that doesn't understand what that means, may they come to know the Lord Jesus and what he has done for them. May they be convicted of their sin. And may they turn to him in salvation.